Good morning, friends. Well said. Thank you, and it's wonderful to see you here this fine spring morning. Second Sunday in the season of Easter. We're glad you're here. Others are on their way. We're especially grateful for any of you who today are visiting with us. We welcome you and hope you'll be able to come back and join us again. In the order of service insert, there are printed announcements of upcoming events. I will make you aware, I think, of three of them. First, next Sunday is our annual program meeting. We come together and have a meal together, and then before that, we discuss what's going on in our church by way of our ministries and programming this past year and in the months that lie ahead. You will likely find that an interesting time as well as a yummy one. We hope you'll plan on being present. There are new classes beginning today for adults in our education time, the second hour, we call it, from 11:30 to 12:30. I invite adults to take a look in their bulletin insert to see what they are and where they are located. Our young adult class will meet where they always do, in a Bible study of the Gospel of Mark. Two other new ones are a Bible study called Heroes of the Bible, led by Astrid Beck, wonderful teacher, professor of Bible, and we are thrilled that she's doing it. We hope many of you will attend. There is another course called Conversations About Race, looking together for six Sundays on issues of racism in our country and how we might be better informed and how we might better be responsive as individuals and as a congregation. That one is led by three people, Ron Gregg and me, and in three of our sessions by LaRon Williams, who will serve as a wonderful guest. And finally, this afternoon is a simply marvelous concert to happen in this room. It happens at 4 p.m. We hope many of you have known already about it from our publication. You have an insert that mentions it that looks like this. It's part of a long series called Concert for a Cause, in which musicians of real talent come and offer their gifts for free, and we pay nothing to come in, but we are invited to donate to some worthy endeavor being done in our community. This one is the Corner Health Center, a group that's been around for a while, offering free, confidential, non-judgmental health advice and care for young people ages 12 to 25. It's a much respected group. They have physicians and nurses and social workers. They not only help young people address health issues, but give training in how to take better responsibility for one's own health. It's a really wonderful group. So our money will go toward that. As for the musicians, oh my. Our choir will be singing Ralph Vaughan Williams' piece, The Five Mystical Songs. These are poems of George Herbert set to music, featuring the phenomenal voice of Sam Kidd as soloist. They performed two of these pieces in last Sunday morning's Easter Sunday worship service. You will want to be here, if at all possible. Further, Shanae Chun will be soloing at organ. Other instrumentalists and vocalists will be here, including a string quartet accompanying our choir as they sing. Good time to be here, and we hope that you will be, and there's plenty of time to contact friends about coming here with you. You may consult other items there as you wish. Please notice there's also a connection card inserted. We'd like everyone to fill that out with your contact information and other information you will find on the reverse side. Now, please, would you join me in our responsive call to worship? Make a joyful noise to the Lord.
We worship Christ. We come to
Enter with thanksgiving, find yourselves at home, speak your praise. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, faithful always and forever. Praise the Lord.
Now, if you are able, would you please stand for the invocation? Almighty God, whose grace and blessing sustain us in all that we are and all that we do, now lift up our hearts in this hour that we may respond to you joyfully with praise and gratitude. So bless us now that we may in all circumstances rejoice in the Lord always. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
By God's great mercy, we have been given a new birth into living hope.
In this you rejoice, so that your genuine faith may result in praise and glory when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Although we have not seen him, we love him.
And even though we do not see him now, we trust him.
We rejoice with an indescribable joy.
From the psalmist. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. The Lord is my choice portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. You show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let's pray together, please. God, in this season of Easter, grant us the courage to seek and to claim resurrection. To the extent that we have not been alive enough, help us to choose life. Where our relationships seem dead or dying, help us to get up and do our part to infuse them with new life as we are able. Where the world seems too far gone, and the people and the powers at the helm of the world seem too far gone, let us not give up on life in the world as you mean it to be. Let us not give up on this beautiful earth. Let us not give up on ourselves or on each other. Let us not give up on seeking justice and peace. Let us not give up on reconciliation. May we put aside our passiveness and rededicate ourselves to the passionate reclaiming of what is right and what is lovely and what is true. May we live like children of the resurrection. We pray for those who are suffering near to us and those who are suffering far away from here. For those who suffer in war, for those who suffer famine and starvation, for those who suffer fear for their lives and their loved ones' lives, for those who suffer depression and despair, into the light of your loving kindness we offer them. May we never withhold ourselves from the fellowship of suffering, for you are there, and you will meet us there. We pray in particular today for these, for John and Anna Moyer, Jenny McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Lord Logan Sweet, Dottie Kassler, Valerie Nebbia, David, Claudio, Erica Castrillon, Felicia McDonald, Helen Louise, Mike and Olivia Alton, for Kathy and Jesse, for Barb and Bob, for Kay, for Jim Terrace, for Jim Johnson, for the Jones family, for John Wallace. And now we pray our prayers in silence. O powerfully living and loving God, as our worship now continues, may each of us seek with all our hearts to draw nearer to you, only to find that you are already and utterly near to us, filling us as you also are filling the world with yourself. We offer our prayers in the name of Jesus, our teacher, our Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The gospel reading for this morning is from the 20th chapter of John, where the writer tells of two post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. If you are able, would you stand for the reading of the gospel? When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Now we invite the children to come forward for their time with Zan.
I wonder, when you have written a thank you card, have you written a thank you card before? And what was it for?
My birthday presents.
Thank you for the birthday presents you were given.
For my birthday presents, too.
Okay, Genevieve just had a birthday, too. Alexandra.
For my birthday presents.
Okay, so we write cards when we've received a gift. What if somebody has helped us with something? If somebody has helped us, maybe we write a card and say, "Thank you for helping us," or "Thank you for a gift." I've been thinking about a gift that God has given us. that we celebrated yesterday. Alexandra, do you have an idea? What?
Jesus coming back to life.
Ooh, Jesus coming back to life. That's a huge gift that God gave us. And also the earth. Yesterday we celebrated Earth Day, where we think about the gift that God has given us. And God has given us that gift to enjoy it and to take care of it. To be good stewards of it, which means take care of it. Tend it. Make sure that we keep the water clean and the air good to breathe. I wonder if we think about what it would be like to give God a thank you card for the earth, the gift of the earth. I wonder what it might be like. I wonder what it might be like. If we're not actually going to write a card to God, what can we do with the earth to help it be a good place as our way of saying thank you to the Creator for the earth? What can we do to take care of the earth?
Clean up trash.
Ooh, clean up trash.
Don't cut down trees.
Not cut down trees. What else can we do to take care of the earth?
Don't pollute. Hmm? Don't pollute.
Don't pollute. Logan, did you have an idea? What can we do to take care of the earth? Thinking? What do you think? You have another one?
Don't litter.
So we cannot put things on the ground that aren't supposed to be, like garbage.
Don't dump trash.
What about recycling? Do you guys recycle? Yeah? Ooh, or compost? There are all kinds of things we can do. We can not put garbage on the ground. That's a good one. We can think about what kind of things we put on our yard so that we don't poison the soil. We can think about the things that we use so that we don't destroy something that God created called the ozone to keep us safe from the sun. We can think carefully about all those things and then make good choices. That's our way of saying thank you to God. I also think that we can use our brains to think about how God created the earth and how it changes its patterns. And when we think about that, science, that's our way of making sense of God's world. And that's another way of saying, thank you, God, for this beautiful creation you've given us. So I hope you'll think about that every day, about how can we take care of the earth as our way of saying, thank you, God, for all that you've given us in creation. Let's pray together. Will you repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for the earth. Help us enjoy it and take good care of it. Amen.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In recent years, a growing number of churches have begun observing this Sunday, the Sunday after Easter Sunday, as Holy Humor Sunday, or as Bright Sunday, a day for celebrating God's gifts of joy and laughter. The practice apparently has its roots in various customs within different Christian traditions in history. In 15th century Bavaria, for instance, the Sunday after Easter was celebrated as Risus Paschalis, meaning God's joke, or the Easter laugh. It was a way of acknowledging that God had the last laugh over death, that the resurrection was seen as a great prank that God played on death. It's like the little girl who imagined that Jesus' first words as he came out of the tomb were, "Ta-da!" On God's Joke Sunday, priests would include funny stories and jokes in their sermons, and then people would get together after worship and have picnics and parties, play games, play pranks and practical jokes, and they had something called drenching customs, where the boys would get the girls wet, and then the girls would get the boys wet. And apparently, these events could become rather raucous celebrations, because in the 17th century, Pope Clement officially prohibited the observance of such a Sunday, claiming that it was being abused. Of course, it wasn't the first time that religious folks treated celebration with suspicion. Jesus himself came eating and drinking, and people called him a glutton and a drunkard, a friend to tax collectors and sinners. And of course, that last part was right. He was a friend to tax collectors and sinners. He broke the boundaries of cultural expectations by sharing a table with them. Jesus never let other people's categories lock him in. And in the end, even the category we call death could not hold him. At the heart of God's reality, the surprising joy of abundant life bursts through our preconceived limits. So, Holy Humor Sunday, or Risus Paschalis, or Bright Sunday, is not any kind of official church holy day. But it certainly does speak to something we need. In the church, we celebrate Easter not as a day, but as a whole season. Actually, every Sunday throughout the year is supposed to be considered a little Easter. It's just that most Sundays don't rise to that high level of expectation and celebration that we experience on the actual Sunday of Easter. In fact, this first Sunday after Easter also has one more name, Low Sunday, which is supposed to refer to the fact that the normal worship service seems subdued after all the high celebration of Easter Sunday. But the truth is, the term Low Sunday has also come to refer to the attendance, which is typically a fraction of what it was the previous week. The interesting thing is that things are really just going back to normal today. Normal worship service, normal attendance. But once you've had that high of Easter celebrations or other big moments for that matter, even normal seems low, doesn't it? The truth is, sometimes normal seems low even when it's not connected to big celebrations. Who of us hasn't felt the low of life in our world these days? The news is filled with violence, trauma, global political uncertainty. It's always been this way, of course, but now we get to watch it in real time. We carry the scary news of the world in our pockets so that we can scroll through it as we wait in line for coffee or groceries. We set it on our nightstands so that it can be the first thing that fills our sleepy eyes in the morning and the last thing that flows into our burdened brains at night. For the last 10 years, the American Psychological Association has been running an annual nationwide Stress in America survey to examine the sources and impact of stress in our lives. This year, for the first time since the survey began being conducted, the results showed a statistically significant increase in stress, with fully two-thirds of respondents saying they are stressed about the future of our nation and our world. Many of us carry around more stress in a week than our ancestors did in a year or more. That stress isn't always grounded in reality either. Sometimes the level of stress doesn't accurately reflect our actual threat. But the director of the research on stress points out that whether we're actually in more danger or just believe that we are doesn't really matter. Perception drives behavior. When I was a child, I was scared a lot. I would overhear the nightly news as my parents watched it, and I would lie in bed at night with my eyes open, keeping watch for all the crime I was certain was out to get me. One night when my father came in to tuck me in, I told him how scared I was about whatever particular awful thing I had heard on the news that night. And he explained to me that the people on the news had to tell about the bad stuff or nobody would watch. He said that the bad stuff is news because it's not ordinary. He pointed out how boring it would be for the newscasters to come on each day and say things like, "A father kissed his daughter goodnight tonight," even though there was more of that happening than all the kidnappings and robberies I was so afraid of. The ordinary good stuff of life just isn't news. Which is why we so often miss it, right? And then sometimes, even when we try so hard to find little things to be happy about and to celebrate the little bits of goodness around us, someone will come along and smack us down for it, just like Pope Clement did to those Bavarian churches. So last week, millions of people watched and posted about the live streaming of April, the giraffe in New York, who gave birth to a little calf the day before Easter. It's a little thing. But a friend of mine was so excited about this, and she posted about the birth on Facebook that day, and then a friend of hers came along and wrote under it, "Now can we get back to something important?" And he then went on to take time out of his day to make a list of all the horrible things happening in the world that we needed to be paying attention to. His implication being, Given the state of the world, celebrating something like an animal birth was frivolous, and he was infuriated, apparently. We do live in serious times in a world with serious difficulties, which has always been the case. But in the midst of the stress, anger, burden, sadness, and fear of it all, we know something else is true, too. We know with the psalmist, God is our refuge. God is our security, our comfort, our deliverance, our protection, our future, and our joy. The psalm this morning is a perfect psalm for Easter. It's a beautiful reminder that God is always in the business of life, not death. God is always in the busyness of life. And that God's presence is filled with joy and with pleasures, even in the midst. And that our whole beings can be claimed by this. Heart, soul, even our bodies can rest secure, the psalmist says. I keep the Lord always before me, he says. And because God is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the solidity of this? An immovable sense of security and trust that results in joy. For those of us who feel so pulled by the demands and concerns of each day, so tossed about by the ups and downs of whatever is going on in our lives or in the world, it can be hard to imagine this kind of steady joy. Not a superficial, I'm going to pretend that everything's okay either. The psalmist is making an audacious claim. It springs from where his heart is. And it can feel like a stretch for some of us. He says, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage." It sort of sounds like maybe he has good fortune, the good fortune of land and inheritance, so he can afford to trust. He gives credit to God for the blessings, and he can be happy. But this is an Easter psalm. It's for all of us, not just those of us who happen to find ourselves in good circumstances. Isn't it true that all of us have found ourselves somehow, by the grace of God, in the path of life? It's a path that runs from the cross, through the empty tomb, into our own lives. These are the boundary lines for us. We have a goodly heritage, an inheritance of full joy, a destiny that moves us towards life and gladness, even in the midst of challenges we can't see our way through. If we can see that we have an inheritance that has been secured for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, then we can find this immovable trust that holds even in the midst. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a faith that leads to trust, that leads to joy, so complete that it encompasses your heart, your soul, your body, your being, your days? We came to church on Easter and heard again the great, big, earth-shaking news that Christ is alive and that God has broken the power of death. God has broken the power of anything that has us in its grip. But then we go back to our daily lives and our regular Sundays. And then what? This is the thing. All those little ordinary parts of our lives can be transformed, will be transformed, when we see by the light of the resurrection. When we see through that lens, then every goodness is a foretaste of the fullness of joy. And every difficulty is held within a larger context that we can trust. A context of love. A context that says joy will have the last word. When we put our confidence in the God who pulls life out of the grave, whose joy blows down all our limits, then we can begin to look and see what God is doing now, even in the midst of pain and fear and anger and death. So the big things, like elections that rock the world or violence that shatters security, the big things are taken seriously, but not given ultimate power. And the little things, like a parent kissing a child goodnight, or a giraffe giving birth to a calf, the little things can be tiny glimpses of the true fullness of God, signs of the joy that holds us all. Christ plays in 10,000 places, breaking through our ordinary experiences to show us love, to give us joy, to say, ta-da! Priest and writer Henry Nouwen, who was no stranger to pain, woundedness, grief, wrote, "Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day." My friend Catherine lost a good friend and a close cousin earlier this year, too young and too soon, and she decided for Lent to try to make a particular practice of joy in the face of grief. She chose a practice that didn't sound particularly revolutionary or weighty. She just decided that every day in Lent, she would find a reason to claim why that day was the best day. She said her only rule was that she could not be sarcastic or purposely funny. It had to be a real thing. Sometimes the things were big, and sometimes they were little. But she said, "I found myself constantly reframing things and always seeking a way to make that day the best day, no matter what happened." She said, "As far as I can tell, this hasn't changed the world one bit. Friends way too young continue to receive cancer diagnoses. And the world and national news is best labeled as what made today scary and horrifying. But I have noticed a change in me," she said. "I've been able to keep a broader focus on the things that matter in my life during a busy season, more than ever before. I'm grateful for the reminder to name the people and moments in our lives that make today and every day the best day. Today is bright Sunday, or maybe it is low Sunday, depending on how you look at it. Or maybe it's the same thing, really. The lows in life, all the ordinary moments, even the difficult ones, are filled with the brightness of God. Trusting God as our refuge, our life, and our joy, we have opportunity to make response. We make response with our physical offerings. We also have opportunity to make response with connection cards, which offer a chance to make some next steps. Whatever the response of your life, I invite you to celebrate the love of Christ with great joy.
Thank you.
take these gifts. Take our church, take our hearts, our souls, our bodies, and our lives, and fill them all with your joy and your love for our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Children of the promise of all joy and all peace, we offer one another signs of peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
It's my great pleasure to present to you now, in case you don't already know them, Jeremy and Audrey and Henry Bond. One of them is not as happy to be here as the others of us are. You can read a biographical summary of Jeremy and Audrey in your bulletin insert. That's fine. Maybe you should just read it. They were in Dayton for 6 years. Before that, we knew them here, not only as regulars in this church, but as members of our campus ministry group. Audrey came in one day because she had seen with chalk on a sidewalk, word about where we were and what we do, showed up, brought a friend eventually by name of Shannon Chase, who became Shannon Floyd. Then Jeremy showed up. We love them both a lot. They're both talented. They're both educators. Audrey is now a reading specialist, working with children who are challenged in reading. She does that in Plymouth. Jeremy is an elementary school music teacher. They're both fun to be with, delightful, talented, and they are among those who commute the furthest to be here every Sunday, and we thank you for that as well.
Six years ago, on this Sunday, second Sunday of Easter, which always has the reading of Doubting Thomas, Jeremy preached the sermon as part of Campus Ministry Sunday on Thomas. Yeah, I remember too.
So, let's welcome them into new membership, and you will find on the back page of your order of service, a responsive that we do. Will you say these words together? We gladly welcome you into this church home. We pledge to learn with you, to serve with you, and to grow with you in the family of Jesus Christ. We are all made richer in faith because of your joining us. May the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us all to be good friends to each other and fully faithful to the calling of God on our lives together. We welcome They are going to be, as long as Henry can stand it, with Stacy out this way. As you may leave that way to say greetings, you can greet them as well. And you can stay in the room till the postlude is done. Thank you. Will you receive benediction?
Dear friends,